Bond settles in. How long will it be until load shedding begins to rear its ugly head again?
Our intention is not for us not to have load shedding during this winter. We've got three scenarios that we have mapped out for ourselves, and we shared with this with all of the South Africans about a month ago. Mm-hmm. Where in on scenario one, where we call it a base case, we have a plan. The assumption is that unplanned outages would be around 14,000 megawatts. And in that scenario, there is no load shedding during winter. In scenario two, where unplanned outages are much higher at 15,500 megawatts, the maximum stages of load shedding in that scenario is stage two. And that we called at that time, we called that as a likely scenario. And then there's scenario three. But where are we now? We are sitting at unplanned outages at around 12,000, some days 11,000 megawatts, significantly less than the base case, which gives us a lot of reserve to be able to see ourselves through winter. So given where we are, if things remain as they are, we believe that we should not see the likely scenario of stage two.
Yeah. When the power goes off,
state of winter season readiness, and that is Eskom's board chairperson Teto Nyati, who actually speaks regarding the electricity demand during the winter seasons, also touching on the increased use of space, heating, geysers, pool pumps, as well as cooking appliance during the winter season. And also touching on the issue that they as Eskom are not actually looking at that is now bringing to an end that is load shedding in the country, but trying by all means. But in other news is that the South Africa Reserve Bank Governor Lesecha has actually made assurance that whatever a new coalition government will look like, the central bank will continue to pursue its mandate to protect the value of the currency in the interest of balanced and sustainable economic growth in the country. He was speaking at the Soweto talk of the South African Reserve Bank Forum in Soweto last night. The sub-monetary policy committee team engaged with members of the community, fielding questions around how the bank supports township economies and the best way communities can raise funds for development, as well as whether the long-promised state bank on the horizon, among other issues.
The question:
60 days of no load shedding, and that we expect that would make a difference.
The panel faced questions around how investors would be viewing the country currently, as there's still no clarity on what the next government will look like.
Investors are very similar to rating agencies. They judge you based on your own policies and on your own targets. So for now, from the conversations that we've been having, they want to see how the elections go. Are they, is there instability? Is it not? They're looking for whether post-elections we can still implement the policies that we have. Are we going to be able to deal with load shedding? Is fiscal policy going to continue to consolidate? So basically they're looking at how we continue post-election in implementing some of the reforms and some of the policies that we have.
Soweto residents raised the issue of black investors being keen to invest in African Bank, which the Reserve Bank still has a significant stake in following the bank's curatorship. The governor said it's been resolved that the African Bank should be placed on the JSE for public listing, opening up the opportunity for as many South Africans to invest in the entity as possible.
When nobody could raise the money to buy African Bank, the route that we decided was that we will go the route of an initial public offering. And the route of an initial public offering means that you almost democratize the shareholding. So you offering the shares to everybody. So whoever can buy 5 shares, 10 shares, somebody might be able to buy 1,000 shares. So the kinds of people that you are mobilizing in a, whether they are in a church, in a stock fell and so forth, continue to pool your savings so that when the shares are offered, you have got the pool to be able to buy those shares.
A question was raised about how far the country is in establishing a state bank. It would seem not very far.
The short answer is there is no application we are sitting with by the state for banking license. And the banking license process is exactly the same, whether you are a private entity or a government entity. You have to go through the exact same process.
In the meantime, Kanyako indicated that inflation still remained too high for the bank's liking. The jury is still out on whether he'll continue his tough stance on inflation or whether he'll give highly indebted South Africans and the broader economy a break and cut interest rates before the year is out. Nompumelelo Siziba, SABC News, Johannesburg.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Irongo Red is looking for heroes like you to help stop copper cable theft. It's a crime that causes unplanned power outages, leads to public safety hazards, exposes wires that can cause injury or death, and increases electricity tariffs. So are you ready to be a copper theft stopper? Then call 96000 toll free or 081-144-2373 to anonymously report suspicious activity. Irongo Red offers incentives for tip-offs that lead to the apprehension of culprits. Irongo Red, power to the people.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver.
Irongo Red is looking for heroes like you to help stop copper cable theft. It's a crime that causes unplanned power outages, leads to public safety hazards, exposes wires that can cause injury or death, and increases electricity tariffs. So are you ready to be a copper theft stopper? Then call 96000 toll free or 081-144-2373 to anonymously report suspicious activity. Irongo Red offers incentives for tip-offs that lead to the apprehension of culprits. Irongo Red, power to the people.
Welcome back, listeners. We actually had to pay the bills that we missed during the power outage that we've experienced, that is from 3 a.m. this morning. Moving on and looking into what is still making headlines is that South Africa's Central Bank said on Wednesday it expected the country's financial system to actually remain resilient despite risk from worldwide election, persistent geopolitical tension and weak domestic market conditions. Now, with more than 70 countries going to the polls this year, among them South Africa last month, the South African Reserve Bank says the possible changes in policy that might result had actually now heightened market volatility. The governing African National Congress, ANC, lost its majority for the first time in 3 decades in, that is, the national and provincial elections of May the 29th. The ANC said on Wednesday that it was leaning towards a government of national unity with several parties, which last happened at the fall of apartheid in 1994. The rand has actually traded erratically since last week as news of the election's outcome filtered through the investors. Now, yesterday, the rand traded at $18 or 18 rand and 89 cents. That is against the dollar, and that is around about 0.9% weaker than its previous close after a press conference by the ANC where the party discussed its future path. The party has held discussions with the business-friendly Democratic Alliance and radical left economic freedom fighters, amongst others. The central bank said in the first edition of its financial stability review, the biennial health check of the financial system, that high exposure to government debt and the weak fiscal position overall undermined the market resilience. Steady progress has been made to strengthen the domestic financial safety net through the introduction of deposit insurance and also a broader financial sector stress test, which included banks and insurance companies, the central bank stated. Globally, geopolitical tension and stickier inflation meant some economies were actually experiencing divergent recoveries, increasing market volatility. Despite this risk, the central bank said it actually expects the financial system to remain resilient over the forecasted period of May 2025. In other news is that now a quadrupling of the price in subsidized bread has made it harder than ever for Gama Ahmad or millions and other millions of Egyptians to actually go by a day. The loaves are available for more than 70 million people and are vital for the poorest. Even though they still heavily discounted, the increase of 20 pastiers per loaf for 5 pastiers is one that many households call they cannot actually afford it. And this is actually Egypt's or Egyptians' struggle with the first bread subsidy cut in decades. In other news, oil extended gains from previous sessions on Thursday, amid a growing expectation the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates in September, though prices were actually kept on the back of a high U.S. inventories and an OPEC Plus plan to increase supply. Now, this is oil up on Fed rate cut expectations, but OPEC Plus decision gaps that is the gain. Brent crude futures rose 31 cents or 0.40 cents, 40% to $78.72 a barrel by Wednesday, while U.S. West Texas intermediate crude futures climbed by 41 cents, representing a 0.55% to $74.48. Nearly two-thirds of economists are now predicting an interest rate cut in September, according to Reuters' May 31st to June 5th poll, offsetting recent bearish supply news. Low interest rates decrease the cost of borrowing, which can actually incentivize economic activity and also boost oil demand. However, the Fed's interest rate path is far from a foregone conclusion, as U.S. service sector activity, which accounts for the vast majority of the country's economic output, actually returned to growth in May after contraction in the previous month. That could potentially weaken the case for interest rate cuts. The oil benchmarks were still headed for weekly declines of about 4% as of Thursday, weighing down by the latest supply decision from the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allies. The group agreed on Sunday to extend most of their oil output cuts into 2025, but left room for voluntary cuts from 8 members to actually be unwound gradually beginning in October. We believe the OPEC Plus move to unwind the 2.2 million barrels per day in the final quarter of 2024 will actually add further pressure on benchmark prices, said Amil Jamil, senior analyst for crude at that is LSEG Oil Research. Lastly, in what is making headlines regionally, continentally, and that is internationally, is that Kenya's bank, central bank, held its benchmark lending rate at 13.0% on Wednesday, saying that inflation was actually stable within its near-term target range, and it aimed to keep exchange rate stability. Now, it is the second time running the bank. The bank has held in its rate after leaving it unchanged in April. The bank hiked rates in December and February to stabilize the exchange rate and also help stubborn inflation under that is control. The Monetary Policy Committee, MPC, concluded the current monetary policy stance will ensure that overall inflation remains stable around the midpoint of the target range in the near term, while ensuring continued stability in the exchange rate, the central bank stated in a statement. Now, in August, the bank introduced a new interest rate corridor to help guide short-term market interest rates towards the central bank policy rate. It had set the rate at a plus or minus 250 basis points around the policy rate. On Wednesday, the bank said it had also adjusted the discount window rate to 300 basis points above the central bank rate from 400 basis points previously. The discount window rate is what it charges commercial banks who actually borrow from the regulator as a last resort. The Kenyan shilling has stabilized against the dollar after the government successfully raised $1.5 billion from international markets in February to partially buy back another bond that is maturing in June. Inflation, which had remained on the higher side of the government's preferred band of 2.5 to 7.5% for months, rose slightly to 5.1% in May from a 5.0% a month earlier. Official statistics show Kenya's economy grew by 5.6% in 2023 from a 4.9% in the previous year. The central bank said it expects a robust economic performance in 2024 despite the effects of widespread flooding earlier in the year. The economy is expected to remain strong in 2024, supported by the resilient service sector, robust performance of agriculture sector, and continued implementation of government measures to boost economic activity across the priority sectors. I'll be taking a short commercial break, but I'll be with you shortly after this. We will be looking into what is making headlines right here in the country. Of course, for those that cannot access, that is, or find the radio frequencies, especially in other towns, you can always download the Eagle FM app to be following what is actually happening throughout the country. Engage in conversations right here on Eagle FM, of course, your number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome
Welcome back, listeners. 44 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. That's a Thursday morning, the 6th of June 2024. Now, in a majority of Namibians support elections as the best way to choose their leaders, this according to the new Afro Barometer study. Most Namibians value elections, and overwhelming majorities say that they feel free to join any political organization and to choose whom to vote for without feeling pressured, a recent Afro Barometer survey indicates. Now, more than 7 in 10 citizens say they voted in the last elections in 2019. While most respondents consider that elections have been largely free and fair, about 3 in 10 report fearing political intimidation or violence at least a little bit during the election campaign. Namibians will take to the polls in November 2024, with a national re-registration of voters launched in June. Now, about 3/4, representing 74% of the Namibians, support elections as the best way to choose their leader, while another 1/4, representing 25%, say other methods for choosing the country's leaders would actually be preferable. Overwhelming majorities report that they feel somewhat free, a completely or completely free to join any political organization, and this represents an 87%, and to choose whom to vote for without feeling pressured. This group actually represents a 90%. Citizens with no formal education at 81%, urban dwellers at 84%, and women at 85% are slightly less likely to actually say they feel free to join any political organization. Now, one of the key findings is that almost 3/4, representing 72% of citizens, say they voted in the last national election in 2019, while 25% say they did not. Urbanites at 65% are less likely than rural residents at 81% to indicate that they actually voted in the previous elections. Even excluding those who were too young to vote in 2019, youth aged 18 to 35, that is 56%, are far less likely to report having voted in their elders, that is at an 84% to 92%. Now, another key finding is that 2/3, representing 66% of respondents, described the 2019 elections as having been largely free and fair, while 34% say it was completely fair and free, while 32% consider it free and fair for minor problems, but almost 3 in 10, 28% say it was either free and fair with major problems, and 18% stated that they're not free, neither is it fair. Now, about 1 in 4 citizens say they feared political intimidation or violence a little bit, somewhat, and also a lot during the last elections, while 71% report experiencing no such fears. Now, the Africa Barometer is a pan-African non-partisan survey research network that actually provides data on African experiences and evaluations of democracy, governance, and also quality of life. 9 survey rounds in up to, that is 42 countries that have been completed since 1999. Round 10 surveys are currently underway. Afrobarometer's national partners conducted face-to-face interviews in the language of the respondents' choice. Now, the Africa Barometer team in Namibia, led by Survey Warehouse, interviewed a nationally representative a sample of 1,200 adult citizens in the country in March this year. A sample of this size yields country-level results with a margin of error at that is a plus or minus 3%, or percentage points at a 95% confidence level. Previous surveys were actually conducted in Namibia in 1999, 2003, 2006, 2008, 2012, 2014, 2017, 2019, as well as 2021. Well, after this, let's go for a short commercial break. I'll return shortly with what is making headlines. And this time around, we are going to look at a debate on the national minimum wage.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, listeners. Now, in other news is that the Namibia Employers Federation calls for further dialogue and the involvement of Parliament to decide on the national minimum wage. The just published announcement regarding the introduction of a national minimum wage bill on the 1st of January 2025 by the Minister of Labour, Industrial Relations and Employment Creation is received with utter disappointment and extreme frustration by the Namibia Employers Federation, known as NEF. Being an organization representing Namibian employers, the NEF holds the strong view that the discussion subsequent to the release of the report by the Wage Commission were far from being concluded, and also that the submission of the NEF outlining material concerns that could have severe implications on employment had not been taken into consideration before the Ministry of Labor had submitted its decision to issue on wage order to, that is, the cabinet. Now, according to NEF, as the required tripartite consultations on the national minimum wage is not finalized, the decision by the Minister of Labor, that is Utoni Nyoma, to issue a wage order is viewed as premature and unilateral. Now, Elias Shikongo, president of the NEF, says, and I quote, "One of the very converted international principles of decision-making about labor matters and also industrial relations is the principle of a tripartism and also social dialogue. The essence of that is that governments, employers' organizations, and workers' organizations should collaborate and be actively involved in shaping policies, legislation, and also practices that actually affect the world of work." Shikongo mentioned that sadly the unilateral decision and also announcement by the government undermines the highly valued principle of tripartism enshrined in international labor standards. Further adding that it does not only relate to the fact that once again the employer's position has not been significantly integrated or effectively ignored, but the fact is that they will have a massive impact on, that is, the labor market, and this must be prevented. The NEF previously agreed to an introduction of a national minimum wage in principle, provided that it was supported with extensive, meaningful consultations and also negotiations. The NEF says that they were in support of an hourly minimum wage, with the proviso that it should actually be considered for those employees, that were not covered by the sectoral minimum wage and also employment conditions. In addition, the NEF had actually proposed that there should be a scope for exemptions. A national minimum wage bill without the consideration of the very large differences between various economic sectors can have severe repercussions for the labor market, stated the NEF. Now, a likely consequence of a blanket introduction of the national minimum wage across industries and areas is further retrenchments, due to unaffordability. A blanket national minimum wage across industries does also not take into account the minimum requirement or required productivity levels of the employees in their respective sectors. Furthermore, the statement by NEF stated that they as an organization therefore urgently calls for further tripartite deliberations and consultations in the interest of a stable labor market. Incomplete consultations can lead to less buy-in, with the consequence of the national minimum wage being undermined. Furthermore, the statement read that next to possible retrenchments, it can lead to greater informality of the labor market and also to the displacement of workers by technology. Another factor is whether the Ministry of Labor is resourced enough to ensure effective implementations, which is a very real challenge experienced by other jurisdictions who hastily implemented similar measures. Moreover, the NEF stated that they hold the view that an introduction of the national minimum wage would have a profound wide-ranging economic implications, thereby necessitating parliamentary intervention through a legislative process with the involvement of both houses of parliament. The latter, in return, also stipulates a wider social dialogue with greater stakeholder engagement. That is the Namibia Employment Federation, therefore questions whether a wage order by the Labour Minister, although sanctioned by Cabinet, was the appropriate process in determining the national minimum wage. Furthermore, the NEF president actually elaborates, and I quote, "We call for a reversal of the wage order by our Minister of Labour. There is a need for further deliberations, and we would want to see that the employer's submission through the NEF will be taken into consideration." Following that, after effective tripartite consultations and negotiations, we would like to see that a bill be drafted and tabled in Parliament once it has been seen by Cabinet and the Cabinet Committee for legislation. Furthermore, the President added that while the NEF recognizes that time is of the essence of the government, proper due diligence and compliance with the required tripartite deliberations should not be compromised or disregarded, as ultimately they include, including their employees, will also suffer. This is to be avoided as a matter of urgency, he stated.
Do you have a question you want answered on air? Have a quick comment you want to share with the presenter? Eagle FM's SMS line is now open. Send your questions and thoughts to 1040. That's 1040 for only $1.50.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, listeners. And now, moving on, is that following Monday's parliament briefing that has been seen as failed to meet a quorum on Tuesday afternoon, actually, after a number of members of parliament did not return from their tea break on time, while the session did eventually continue before being subsequently adjourned. Speaker of the National Assembly, Peter Kachavivi, actually urged parliamentarians to stick to their timetables and also discuss important motions that need to be tabled. Now, Parliament resumed on Tuesday after going on a recess on the 25th of April, however, was observed to be relatively empty. Currently on the order paper, there are 18 items under discussion which need to be concluded by the 11th of July when Parliament goes on a recess again, else they will actually lapse. Meanwhile, let's just take a listen to a conversation I had with the Speaker of the National Assembly, Peter Kachavivi, who also stated that after their tea break, they were actually assembled to get back into parliament and continue with those motions as well as discussions. But at the end of the day, the Speaker had to adjourn the session.
Initially, there were people in the restaurant And we rang the bell, and they came back, and we continued. It was just a few minutes, and we did continue. I expressed my my concern purely in terms of the time that is available to this current session that is running between now and the 11th of July.
Yes.
And it is my way of urging them, basically urging them to make sure that we do not have unnecessary delays, and make sure that we complete the agenda for the current session. But I just want to reassure you that once we rang the bell and those members of parliament who were in their restaurant or somewhere else did return to the house, and I'm extremely happy that that was the case.
All right. So, so Honorable Speaker, you actually hope for that this that going throughout this whole session, there will not actually be members that will not be part of the upcoming sessions. Because people, the concern is that last year we had some bills that were shifted to over to this year due to some delays caused by members who hardly actually show up or who walk out of parliament.
Well, you see, the members, it is normal. Any parliament, that members of parliament, there are people who are absent because of illness, because of some urgent particular issues, and so on. But all what I'm saying from where I see it is that the priority, we need to prioritize the work of parliament. There are certain issues that cannot wait. If, for instance, a member was not able to participate in a particular item and they postponed to another day, it is for you to make sure that you attend a particular issue so that there's no further delay. I'm also now basically saying if a member of parliament has asked for an item to be postponed so that he or she could make a contribution, I will permit that, but I don't want further delay of that particular item, because if we do that, we are going to be contributing to unending agenda items that are kept being postponed. So we will use the rule to make sure that that does not happen, so that we are able to speed up the process.
The last question, Honorable Speaker, is just looking at the time and before now, end of the year or December, do you think it's enough for the parliamentarians to be able to table and move motions or table bills in this short period of time so that we can avoid delays of bills being pushed to next year?
We are going to draw a line between things that are of priority that we need to get them to have them done, and we're also going to impress upon members of parliament that motions of some kind should also be based on being absolutely urgent and important for the purpose of being entertained, and we should also limit our length in the discussion so that we get to the point where we basically refine what is needed to be refined and then act and get the job done. If we do that, I'm confident that we'll be able to finish all the items that are currently on the agenda.
No, thank you very much, Mr.
Kachovivi. And I'm particularly happy that you are keeping an eye on the proceedings of the House, and from time to time I need to talk to you so that we can impress upon our main members so that they become much more economical with words and not indulge in unnecessary lengthy discussion that sometimes do not add value to the work.
Yes, because these are lawmakers, and the bread and butter issues in the country is actually on their shoulders. Them actually taking longer to table bills and delaying the whole process might affect the whole country at large.
Absolutely. So you and I, we're on the same wavelength.
All right. Well, that is the Speaker of the National Assembly. We are speaking about Honorable Peter, or Dr. Peter, Professor Peter Kachavivi. Pardon me. It is 4 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. I'll be going for a short commercial break, but I'll be with you shortly looking into the launch of the NASFAF beneficiary list for 2024.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, listeners. And now moving on with our next news item, we are going to look at news coming from the occasion of the official release of the 2024 financial year assistance by the Namibia Student Financial Assistance Fund. Now, speaking or addressing that is the audience during the engagement was the acting CEO or Chief Executive Officer of the Namibia Financial or Student Financial Assistance Fund, NASFAF, Kennedy Kandume, who actually stated that since 2013, NASFAF funding to students has grown from disbursing $250 million in 2013 to $2.5 billion in 2024. The number of new intakes also grew from 10,600 in 2013 to 23,785 students in 2024. This brings the total number of students funded over a period of 10 years to 176,310 students to the tune of $17.5 billion. Kandume further touched on the applications, adding that loan applications for 2024 academic year started, that is, on November the 29th last year, and actually ended in February the 29th, 2024. During this period, the fund actually received 31,114 applications from Namibians seeking financial assistance. Now, Kandume further stated that after a careful assessment, 23,785 applicants were actually found to be meeting the funding requirements, representing 76% of applications received. The remaining 24% or 7,329 applications have been rejected, mostly on the account that their combined parental or own income is above the threshold, which is $500,000 annually. He added that the fund's current policy is designed to look after the needy, in other words, those who come from households with a combined gross income of between $0 to $500,000 per annum.
Of who had been in the student leadership for quite some time, that there was a period in the life of this institution where the funding was not enough. Some students could not be funded, and then there were demonstrations and so forth, to the extent that the Honorable Minister sitting here today has to engage a counterpart at the Ministry of Finance for those that were left to be provided with financial assistance. The same is continuing, but is no longer in the same manner. This engagement takes place before the release, and I must say, we always secure enough funding to provide financial assistance to those who are eligible for funding. The application, the loan application for 2024 academic year started on the 29th of November 2023 and ended on the 29th of February 2024. During this period, we received 31,114 applications from Namibians who are seeking financial assistance. After a careful consideration or assessment, 23,785 applicants were found to meet the funding requirement, representing 76% of applications received. You might be asking what happened then to the others. The remaining 24%, or 7,329 applications, were rejected, mostly on the account that their combined parental income or their own income is above the threshold. I'm sure we all know the threshold, that if your parental or household income is above 500,000, that you don't qualify for funding. I must add here that the fund's current policy is designed to look after the needy. In other words, those who came from households with a combined gross income of between 0 to 500,000 per annum. The analysis that we did revealed that 80% of those who are eligible or qualify for funding come from the household with income of between 0 to 100,000 per annum. This is really where this fund come in, uplift those who would not otherwise be studying had it not been for financial assistance provided by NASFA.
Now, Kandume mentioned that the above mentioned eligible Namibians need to enter into a contractual agreement with the fund. Thus, successful applications or applicants are actually expected to sign a contract within 60 days from the date they received a notice, meaning the day an applicant actually was informed of his or her eligibility to be funded. He further stated that in this regard, successful applicants are actually urged to download contracts on their portals, sign as well as upload back into NASFAF system. Contracts are already sent to them via their student portals, and it must be noted that the fund will not disperse or make payments without a valid contract. Lastly, on this matter, students are hereby urged to actually go to their rightful bank, which is the bank window, to actually apply for a bank card, as this is a necessary tool for disbursement of funds. Now, Kandume noted that they continued with the same disbursement made as of 26 April 2024. However, due to hiccups in the process of exchanging data with institutions and higher learning, only a few students could actually be paid by the 26th of April this year, and this is in regards to the monthly disbursement of non-tuition fees that they, as NASFAF, introduced in 2023 academic year.
You might recall, is successful, you have 60 days from today. I'm just using today as an example, but of course, applicants were informed long time ago of the status of the application. The next step is, and download and upload it back to NASFAF system. I must emphasize here that no fund or payment will be made without a valid contract. And in addition, students are also required to acquire bank card by visiting Bank Benduk. We have already spoken to the bank. In actual fact, the bank is ready, waiting for those who don't have a card to visit Bank Benduk for them to get these tools. It's a very necessary tool in the disbursement of fund. Monthly payment. I'm sure you are aware that we introduced the monthly payment or disbursement last year around April 2023. Through this mode of disbursement, we were able to disperse around 2,400 per month to student last year. That is, we continued with this mode as from the 26th of April this year. However, due to the hiccup in the process of exchanging of data with the institution of higher learning, only few students could be paid by the 26th of April 2024.
Well, according to the acting CEO, as a matter of fact, is that he was actually told that 5,618 students have already received their payments yesterday. That was the Tuesday. And actually Wednesday, and this leaves about 2,300 students whose payments will be released either later this afternoon or by latest Friday, the 7th of June. And he stated that the monthly payment will resume again at the end of June with the inclusion of the new intakes of 2024 awardees. Now, having he actually reiterated that payments of students is a tripartite system involving NSFAF institutions of higher learning and students, further adding that institutions of higher learning must confirm registration of students and also provide invoices. Students must ensure contracts are signed and they have obtained bank cards. Of course, NSFAF must process and make timely payments, he concluded. Let's go for a short commercial break, but I'll be with you shortly after this.
Do you have a question you want answered on air? Have a quick comment you want to share with the presenter? Eagle FM's SMS line is now open. Send your questions and thoughts to 1040. That's 1040 for only $1.50.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back, listeners. Now, also speaking during the same occasion of the launch of the 2024 award list for NSFAF was the Minister of Higher Education, Ita Kanji Murangi, who actually mentioned that together with her counterpart at the Ministry of Finance Public Enterprises, that is Minister Ipumbu Shimi, she actually expressed their appreciation and for his entire team who worked tirelessly over the past year to ensure that they actually solicit the necessary resources to bridge the funding gap stated by the ever-increasing demand for financial assistance over the years. The minister said, and I quote, "The government through the Ministry of Finance has actually increased the allocation to NSFAF from a 1.6 billion to a 2.4 billion Namibian dollars, which is a 50% increase," adding that this is a clear demonstration of government's commitment to skilling the youth. Furthermore, the minister noted that one of their key principles is equity, and thus the ministry's goal has always been to find universal, sustained, and systematic solutions in mobilizing more resources, increasing equity and efficiency of spending on education, and also improving education financing. She further noted that equitable distribution of resources refers to the fair distribution of their limited resources to all sectors such as health, education, industrial development, and also thus avail development opportunities across all segments of society, irrespective of gender, race, social status, or any other differentiating factor.
With my counterpart at the Minister of Finance and Public Enterprises, Honorable Ipumbu Shimi, to whom I express our
appreciation as well as to his entire team. We worked tirelessly over the past year to ensure that we solicit the necessary resources to bridge the funding gap necessitated by the ever-increasing demands for financial assistance over the years. The government, through the Ministry of Finance, has increased the allocation to NASFAF from 1.6 billion to 2.4 billion, which is a 50% increase. This is a clear demonstration of government's commitment to skilling, or to the skilling of our youth. One of our key principles is equity, and thus the ministry's goal has always been to find universal, sustained, and systemic solutions in mobilizing more resources, increasing equity and efficiency of spending on education, and improving education financing. The equitable distribution of resources refers to the fair distribution of our limited resources to all sectors, such as healthcare, education, industrial development, and thus avail development opportunities across all segments of our society, irrespective of gender, race, social status, or any other differentiating factor. I think by that what I mean is that it doesn't matter what strata of our society you hail from. As long as you meet the set requirements of NASFAF, your various tertiary institutions, you are eligible. And certainly most of you, or most of those you represent, become eligible to access the funding. Director of Proceedings, ladies and gentlemen, available evidence reveals that inequity remains a serious challenge in education financing. It is my belief that to be truly equitable, all students in higher education and training must be treated the same, irrespective of where they are studying. And I think this is because to tell you the truth, as a ministry and as NASFAF, we have continuously, for the past few years, been engaging your student leaders, past and maybe present, if there are those who are continuing. We have been engaging the different NANSO as well as SUN. We have been engaging your institutions, And I must say that there are those institutions that have also reached out to us to say that what they observe, particularly with amongst their student body, is student discrimination. And as government and as a nation, we couldn't take that lightly. Hence the need for us really to say the resources, the meager resources that we have, must follow every eligible Namibian child, well, we are no longer kids, Namibian youth, wherever they are, as long as they have met the set requirements and they are funded by NASFAF, they must begin to get something. However small it might be, gradually, we need to equalize that. Our discussion today is not just about numbers and statistics. It is about the dreams, aspirations, and sharing the potential of our young people and the pivotal role education plays in shaping the destiny of our nation.
Well, Minister Ita Kanji Murangi has actually revealed that with the help of the Ministry of Finance, the non-tuition fees of all Namibian students, that is Student Financial Assistance Fund, NASFA-funded students will be equalized that is all current institutions of higher learning. The minister also stated that the current non-tuition fee of $10,000 that students from some of the institutions actually receive will be increased to, that is, $17,000, similar to the other institutions from some of the institutions or students, similar to the other students from other institutions that have been receiving this amount for years now.
It is a fact that all of you, as you sit here, and those that you represent at your various institutions, you are indeed the pillars that will continue to hold this nation in years to come and generations to come. Hence the need for you to be well-equipped, well-resourced in terms of your knowledge, in terms of your innovation, creativity, you name it, so that indeed different doors, different opportunities are availed for you to excel. Yes, on behalf of yourself, yes, on behalf of your families, yes, on behalf of your various communities, but over and above, on behalf of this country we all call home. However, access to higher education remains a significant challenge for our young people, mainly due to limited funds. The financial burden of tertiary education can be daunting, and for many, it is an insurmountable obstacle. It is a reality that although we talk of 100% funding in terms of tuition fees, we are not anywhere approaching sufficiency or adequacy when it comes to your upkeep, the non-tuition fees amount that you get. This is where government intervention through the provision of student loans becomes indispensable. The financial assistance from the government is a lifeline for countless students. It opens the doors to educational opportunities that would otherwise be inaccessible. By enabling students to pursue higher education and technical vocational education and training, we are fostering a generation of skilled professionals, innovative thinkers, responsible citizens who will drive our country's growth and development. It is essential that we not only sustain, but also expand this funding initiative. I think basically what I'm saying there is that we need to grow the fund for it to cater for more and more eligible students. The current number of students benefiting from student loans, while commendable, is not sufficient to meet the growing demand. Our youth population is really huge. When we look at our country, the 3 million, we said how many are youthful? About 70, 72, 71% there. But not all of those are in tertiary education, of course. We need to look at those who are actually pursuing studies. We must run.
Well, the minister has also mentioned that the current number of students benefiting from student loans, while commendable, is not sufficient to meet the growing demand, adding that the Namibian youth population is burgeoning and with it the need for higher education. She further stated that there is a need to raise the occasion and also ensure that no deserving student is left behind due to financial constraints, further adding that it is for this reason that the government has decided to extend non-tuition support, that is to qualifying and eligible students from all higher education institutions and also vocational training centers, stating that as of 2024, all continuing and newly awarded students at these institutions will get an amount of $10,000 fees for upkeep, and as well as stating that with the help of her counterpart, that is the Minister of Public Finance and Public Enterprises, Ifumbo Shimi, for these fees to be brought at that is a par with other institutions of that is now, for example, $17,000 next year. Also touching on NASFAF that has received 31,114 applicants or applications for the financial year, and of which 23,785 actually meet the requirement of funding. And this is a significant increase from 3,651 funded students compared to those funded in 2023.
Rise to the occasion and ensure that no deserving student is left behind due to financial constraints. It is for this reason the government has decided to extend non-tuition support to qualifying and eligible students from all higher education institutions and vocational training.
Well, and that is the news we are receiving from NASFAF, the Namibia Student Financial Assistance Fund. It is they have touched on quite a number of issues, and that is the surge in the number of applications received, that is since November 2023, up to that is February the 29th this year. And now the fund has seen a significant increase in the number of applications, as well as there are a few students that were actually not able to be funded, and we are speaking out of that is a number or a total number of applicants that were received at that is 31,114 applications, of which only 23,785 could meet the funding. 31 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock, and it's time for me to log off and leave you in the hands of my colleague Michael Mesa, who'll be taking you through Unpicking the Day. So stay tuned. See you next time. Say please.